voir que les États-Unis sont l'un des plus grands pays musulmans de la planète.
We'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Freedom means freedom for everyone. Many of you know one of my daughters is gay. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
If Dr. Tiller is not here to serve a woman's right to choose, who will be here to do it?
Thank you, Dr. Tiller, for allowing me to have a choice with my reproductive health.
It is not something to rejoice in when someone is killed, even if he or she is an abortionist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc. Well, the story had kind of two prongs to it. The big one, of course, was the most notorious abortionist in the United States was murdered. He'd been shot at before. He'd had his place vandalized before. But this time, whoever was out to get him got him. But the other prong of the story was that he was murdered on a Sunday morning during a church service in the church that he attended in Wichita, Kansas. And that became part of this story. People were asking publicly, well, why was the most notorious abortionist in the United States, who by his own account in his clinic had performed 60,000 abortions, why was he going to church? Why would the church have him? And it turns out that there's a bit of a tale here to be told about George Tiller and his church membership that the media didn't really get to, or maybe didn't try to get to. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon, the 12th of June. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll begin talking about the media coverage of the murder of abortionist George Tiller, and then we'll conclude our series on the Ten Commandments today, the commandment, You Shall Not Covet. Our guest, Dr. Carl Fikancher. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest for the first 10 minutes. She's a journalist in Washington, D.C. and contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the fact that Tiller was killed on a Sunday morning in the narthex of the church he attended did give the media an opportunity to get the religion aspect of this story right, did they?
Well, Not really. They did take advantage of the horrible, unfortunate setting of where the horrible murder took place to spin the story as they would say, well, this counters the secular image of this late-term abortion provider. He's a church-going martyr, not a godless murderer. In fact, that's exactly what one of the stories that ran nationwide said. And he was, in fact, a longtime, very active member of this Lutheran congregation in Wichita, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And that is a very true thing, and it's a part of the story that needs to be told. But I'd say they missed two major things. One, they neglected to mention that he was a member of this congregation in part because he had left a congregation where he was under church discipline for his occupation, for failure to repent and cease doing what he was doing with unborn children. And that was another Lutheran congregation, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So he'd been under church discipline. He left to avoid excommunication, although he frequently told people that he'd been excommunicated, even though technically that wasn't true. And so they missed that really major part of the story. And the other major part of the story is they didn't really delve into why the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America had no problem with Dr. Tiller being an abortionist and who, claimed to have killed tens of thousands of fetuses.
Okay, let's deal with the second part of that to begin with. What do we know about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's stance on abortion and how Tiller could have been a member in good standing at that congregation in Wichita?
Yeah, and the first thing that I think should be mentioned is that not everyone who's a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or a member of an ELCA congregation is pro-choice. I mean, Lutherans for Life is a pan-Lutheran organization, and it has ELCA members, including, quite a few pastors. But officially, they have no problem with abortion, and they do not consider it, a sinful. They don't consider it a sin necessarily, and so there's absolutely nothing that there's no reason why they would have a problem with Dr. George Tiller, officially. They even they cover abortion in their insurance plans for their church workers. So it's a very this is very common for a mainline church, and this is how mainline churches have been for a lot of mainline churches have been for decades. But it's very different from, you know, more conservative forms of Christianity.
Then to the first part of the thing that was missed by the general media coverage of Tiller's murder on that Sunday morning, and that is the fact that he had been, at some time in the past, a member of a Lutheran congregation wherein his occupation became a matter of church discipline. What do we know? What's the best information that we have there?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, actually. I've been trying to track down the best information there, and I haven't really gotten anything definitive. But near as I can tell, Dr. George Tiller in the 1970s was, you know, openly practicing as an abortionist, obviously, and that is in conflict with the teachings of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And so in the LCMS, you consider church discipline an act of love. It's if you believe one of the members is sinning, you and he's not unrepentant about it, you confront the issue and you try and get him to turn away from his sin. And so that's what this congregation in Wichita apparently tried to do. And so he was undergoing church discipline, and and that would lead to excommunication if he refused to repent. Rather than undergo that, he decided to leave voluntarily, which is actually somewhat common when people are going through church discipline. What's also interesting is that he apparently told people for decades that he had been excommunicated, which, again, you know, is technically not true. You can't excommunicate someone who's left. You have no jurisdiction over that soul anymore. But I think that's a terribly fascinating angle to this story, because one of the things that so many people were asking was, how could this guy be a member in good standing of a Christian church? And, you know, you can see where it could happen with a church like the ELCA, because they have no problem with abortion officially. But it's also needs to be said that another church did try to bring him to repentance, and that's to look at what happened there. It also changes the latest version of the media narrative on Tiller as this church-going martyr, because it turns out there's a little bit more to the story than they were willing to report.
Is the broader story here as well, not to diminish the story of Tiller's murder, obviously, but the broader story here that some enterprising reporter might take up is the fact that Tiller's situation could not have been entirely unique, that there are, as you mentioned before, a fair number of mainline denominations in the United States wherein someone who practices this particular gruesome vocation can be a member in good standing with no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, and that, that's just something that is woefully undercovered. I think that part of it is that the mainstream media is sort of friendlier to mainline denominations than they are to more conservative denominations. And they just don't really want to confront any of these issues. The fact of the matter is that late-term abortion is incredibly unpopular, even among people who self-identify as pro-choice. Even among some abortion doctors, they won't, you know, countenance late-term abortion. So it's an issue that a lot of people on the pro-choice side of the aisle, and that would probably include much of the mainstream media, they tend to avoid it because they know it doesn't play well in popular opinion polls and whatnot. So, the fact is, you know, many of the clinics and staff that, many of the people who staff these clinics and hospitals that perform late-term abortions, they might be members in good standing of mainline Christian churches or other religious church bodies.
As you peruse the media coverage of Tiller's murder, do you think that the media was able to grasp the nuance that those who are adamantly opposed to the taking of innocent life, when it is the unborn, are also opposed to the murder of George Tiller when that happens?
It was really interesting to watch that because, the fact is that the entire pro-life community in mass condemned this murder, and the media did work really hard to get people who self-identify as pro-lifers to praise this murder. And so I saw it, like there was one protester in Kansas somewhere who defended what the murderer had done, and I saw her quoted in like six different stories, which was kind of a testament to how difficult it must have been to find anyone else who would defend this heinous act. And anyone who said anything, you know, on the fringes was highlighted well beyond how much they represent the movement as a whole. But the fact of the matter is that the movement itself was so overwhelmingly condemnatory toward this that I think the media had a hard time spinning it, although they still did their best, I would say. It was not their most impressive, you know, performance, I would say.
Folks, we'll post a link to Molly Ziegler-Hemingway's column titled Tiller's Missing Excommunication under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Folks, we heard from listeners today, just today, in New Jersey and Omaha, Nebraska, who are planning to attend the one-year anniversary celebration of the return of Issues Etc. on Tuesday, June the 30th, here in Collinsville, Illinois. We are greatly humbled that people would travel from this kind of distance to come and celebrate with us the one-year return of Issues Etc. to the air. It's Tuesday, June the 30th, starting at 4 o'clock here at the studio of Lutheran Public Radio, where Issues Etc. is produced. You come here, you can watch the last hour of the show being done live, and then we'll all gather together at a very nearby location for some food and some refreshment and some fun just to celebrate the one-year return of Issues Etc. to the air. Cost nothing. All you got to do is get here, and when you're coming, we need to know that you're coming and how many you're bringing with you. So we need you at RSVP, craig@issuesetc.org, craig@issuesetc.org. It's the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return, Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th, craig@issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll conclude our series on the commandments, You Shall Not Covet, with Dr. Carl Fikencher.